The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Ah, the smell of Jocktober is in the air. The Braves have taken a commanding lead over the Dodgers. We have absolutely no idea who the best team in the NFL is, do we? And yeesh, the WNBA Finals were 100% pumpkin spicy. Kalia Copper, she came to play. George, Tim, Emily, and Young Harold. Let's go around the horn, kiddos.
Young Harold.
I would be a pumpkin spice guy.
I think this new host is very excited.
Okay,
I would like him to give me a lot of points.
I like what he's doing.
A Sunday of big separating wins, and I'm not talking about how open DeAndre Hopkins was in the end zone. You know, you should cover a guy like that. It kind of works out. The Cliffless Cardinals needed about one quarter to put away the Browns, and the Ravens needed about one possession to put away the Bolts. The Cowboys needed an extra possession to leave Foxborough with a win, and there was the Packers finish him situation in Chicago. And let's just note that the Rams got a chance to play their backups in New York, aka New Jersey. George, which was the most impressive win of this weekend?
Now, Clinton, while I'd like to sing my praises and mention how I was the only panelist on Friday, which included Tim Kalishaw, where Lamar Jackson would be the best player on the field, both in the short term and the long term at the quarterback position, I won't actually go there. I will continue to sing my praises about my just expansive knowledge and just the praise of one Kyler Murray, who, as I referenced, is basically Neo in the Matrix at the moment. All right, you're talking about a kid who had a 94 quarterback rating last year. He's up to 116 at the moment through six games. Not a small sample size. And it is the Cardinals because, I don't know, they're 6-0 for the first time since 1974 when they were the St. Louis Cardinals. The only time before that, they did it when they were the Chicago Cardinals. So I would say, after looking at this weekend, a lot to choose from, but it's the Cardinals.
Tim, they are your Cardinals, from my understanding.
They are my Cardinals. They are my Cardinals, and I'm never going to go against that, my friend in his nightshirt over there. But as I would say this, I am nothing without my integrity. On that same show, I said, yes, I would rather be Justin Herbert because the Chargers are better than the Ravens. Okay, I occasionally get one wrong. I was misinformed on that one. So I'm going to go with the Ravens because they weren't a little better than the Chargers. They destroyed the Chargers. The Chargers only other loss, they pretty much had to give the game to Dallas. They had to keep committing penalties on their own touchdowns for Dallas to win. This time they got manhandled. And it wasn't just Lamar Jackson. It was the Ravens defense doing things to the Chargers that others hadn't done. So give me some Baltimore.
Kaplan, who you got?
Yeah, the Ravens defense showed it can win a championship on its own. It held the Chargers to 4 points in the entire third quarter. That's insane. But the Cowboys, Tim, the Cowboys won me over yesterday. Bill Belichick has coached in this league for 27 years, 422 games, and no quarterback has thrown more yards against one of his defenses than the 445 yards that Dak Prescott threw yesterday. Just think about that. And it's not like this defense is a slump. It's the same defense that held its own against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady last week. So the Dallas Cowboys were legit.
Harry Lyles, who'd you like Sunday?
For me, it's got to be the Ravens. I mean, Lamar Jackson was not at his best, and Tim said it. They still put a beating down on the Chargers and Justin Herbert. That's a really, really good football team out there. And let's give a lot of credit to John Harbaugh here, right? This Ravens team has 16 players on injured reserve, the most in the NFL, and they're still 5-1. And for those that are curious, the next most is 14 for the Lions, and they're 0-5. So credit to the Ravens.
Back to you, Tim. I mean, the Cowboys managed to get that win. You encourage, discourage? What are we doing down there in the D?
I think people are encouraged because on a day where they made some suspect decisions, as is usually made from the sidelines here, and when they committed, over 100 yards in penalties and maybe had a touchdown taken away, even though the quarterback sneak is never a good call, looked like Dak scored on third down, they still came back over all that. And as Emily said, with Belichick trying to stop the run, everybody else is trying to stop the pass and giving up 200 yards rushing. He gave up 440 yards passing.
Thank you for letting us know what Emily said. I appreciate that.
Anyway. Reset.
Can we dive a little deeper on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? The touchdown heard around the world. He's not wrong. He said he saw a lady flip him the double bird from the front row and he just blacked out. By the way, do we have an alibi for one Sarah Spain? Possibly, maybe, no, I don't know. Harry, what are the Packers gonna need to do to go on a major run?
I mean, doing what they're doing right now, you're winning the games that you should be winning. And this is a great attitude from Aaron Rodgers. He spent all offseason hearing other people speak for him. He's speaking for himself now. These are the games that you want to win moving forward. They've got the Cardinals, Chiefs, and Seahawks coming up. So to be on a roll like this coming in, that's really all you need to do.
Woody Page style right there. Look at the schedule. Emily Kaplan, your thoughts.
All right, Harry, I'm going to show you. You're new to the show. This is how you do your homework. I checked in with Sarah Spain. She says she was on a plane to the ESPNW Summit in San Diego. I don't know, though. She might have
inside
been at the game, got on a private jet with her billionaire husband, who's to say. I just got to say that this is the most Taylor Swift that Aaron Rodgers has ever been, because he can seem like a nice guy. He was complimenting the Bears' defense all week, and then he just cuts you up with his words.
Tim, what do you know about Taylor Swift? And tell me something about the Green Bay Packers, buddy.
Do I have to wear a cardigan sweater to let you know what I know about Taylor Swift, you know, on this show? Yes, I know all that stuff. Now, as far as the Packers go, that play, what that makes me think is Aaron Rodgers really thinking about either leaving Green Bay or retiring? He looks like he's having way too much fun, and he can still make that run and get to the corner. But the great thing about the NFC, every division has a 5-1 or in one case, a 6-0 team. It's going to be a great race to see who gets that one bye.
George, the discount double check was great. Your thoughts?
The discount double check was great, but I will raise Emily's Taylor Swift and call it a Tupac, because he hit him up, ooh, Clinton Yates. That's what he did, ooh, to those Bears fans out there. He went all expletive on their bleeps, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And here's the other thing. When you get to a certain age, you give zero bleeps, which is why we had to bleep him out so much. But the coolest thing I thought was not just what he did on the field, but what he did in his post-game presser, which is literally saying goodbye to this rivalry and talking about how he told Justin Fields to enjoy it and embrace it because it's the greatest rivalry and the most unique rivalry in the sport. Him saying goodbye, knowing that might be the last time he plays at Soldier Field because he may be on another team next season, I thought was pretty cool too.
Yeah, I mean, the guy looks great. We're going to say he's got the flow going as well. It's fantastic. Anyway, Lions in the A block. That cannot be good. Spoiler, it isn't. After a 34-11 beatdown by the Bengals, Dan Campbell took some time in his presser for Jared Goff to say, quote, I will say this, I feel like he has to step up more than he has, and I think he needs to help us just like everybody else. He's going to need to put a little bit of his weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things, but he needs help. Emily, what are you hearing, and where do the Lions go from here?
You know where they go? They go to L.A. next to play Matthew Stafford. And imagine losing the breakup and then having to go hang out with your ex and see how amazing they're doing. But when I listen to Dan Campbell right now, I don't think he's just speaking to Jared Goff. I think he's speaking to his management and his ownership and saying, I can't win with this guy, because it's not just the turnovers that are an issue. He's missing guys that are open in the end zone and on fourth downs. And I think it's really sad that it was even a question, do you start David Blau next game? David Blau, the backup, may I remind you, his career line is 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and some people think that's an upgrade over Jared Goff. Yikes.
Kalashaw, you represent the goatee community. Tell me something about Dan Campbell's words.
Also, apparently represent the Lions with this shirt. You know, here's the thing on Dan Campbell. I like Dan Campbell. Played for the Cowboys, and he had the same kind of attitude. Players around him believed in him then. But I don't even pretend to understand Jared Goff. I know I watched the game 3 years ago where the Rams played the Chiefs on a Monday night, and it was 51-48 or whatever it was, and it was just a show between Mahomes and Goff. I don't know whatever happened to that guy. He doesn't seem to exist anymore.
I thought I remember you saying that the trade was a good one from my standpoint.
Am I supposed to admit everything I've gotten wrong?
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Hit some of the highlights.
All right, George, your thoughts.
So, Tim, I'll answer that question for you. He was a product of Sean McVay.
Please.
There was a story in the Washington Post that a couple years ago talking about how Sean was literally in his ear talking up until the communication was over, kind of telling him what the defense was lined up and looking like. That they would line up so quickly to do that stuff. He no longer has that safety net that is Sean McVay. Now, I do agree with you on Dan Campbell. I was able to cover him briefly when he was an interim coach with the Dolphins. And the guys there believed him. They thought he was honest, and they thought he could at times be compassionate, being a guy who was a former player. But I think he's pleading to Jared Goff, hey, man, you're the number one overall pick. Do you want morons like Sedano to keep saying you were just a product of Sean McVay? Or do you want to show us that you can carry a team and be the number one overall pick?
Hey, Lyles, you're not a moron. What are your thoughts?
I'm with Emily on this, except I think he's speaking to more than just ownership. I think he's also trying to send a message to his locker room, right? This team has not won a football game. It is very easy to lose a locker room when you are not winning football games. By calling out your quarterback in a very measured way, by the way, I think we should give him that as well. You are showing this team, you're holding everybody accountable. I think that's a move that not a lot of coaches would do, calling out their quarterback in a public space the way that he did.
Kyle Shaw, last word.
I do think it needs to be said that the Bengals, the team that kind of derailed him yesterday, are pretty good. And the Bengals and Ravens might be the best game next week. So this might not be as ugly as we think in Detroit.
You may be wondering why Tony's not here today. Say hello to Antonella Madden Reale. She was born over the weekend. Antonella and mom are both doing great, and Tony's already got his shirt off. We love to see it. Seriously though, all of us in the Horn family are so happy to welcome Nella aboard. By ourselves next.
Beautiful. Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The scene in Chicago yesterday as the sky finished off the Mercury. Just incredible. Candace Parker everywhere and not letting go of the ball. Kalia Copper winning MVPs and dropping F-bombs. Quigs and Slew together. The sky had to come back in this one with a late run thanks to Parker and Big Mama Steph. We love Steph, by the way. This was a 500 team in the regular season. Emily, your city, your account, what are you buying? What are you selling from the Sky's title?
I'm buying that Candace Parker said she wanted to come home and win a championship and then did the damn thing. But this is really about two local girls because Allie Quigley grew up, went to high school at the same time as Candace Parker, second best high school player in the state, played locally at DePaul, has been on this team since 2013. So to see her shoot lights out and win this as Candace was a really special thing for our city.
Harry Lyles.
I'm buying the Sky as a fun team. It was really great just seeing the way that the WNBA game has grown the past few years. This is a team you can really get behind. A lot of great performances. Courtney Vandersloot, 50 assists, WNBA Finals record. I loved everything about it.
George Sedano.
I'm buying the Sky. Put the Demons to rest. They were a team that had notoriously choked, let's be real, particularly in situations where they were down big in games, and they had the greatest fourth quarter comeback in a WNBA Finals history, all right? So that has to be something about it. And Candace Parker, experience matters. She was the calm in the storm in those situations. So there's a lot to go around there and a lot of props to Chicago.
You see?
You know, the team that didn't have the better record was clearly the better team. Even in game two, the only game Phoenix won, it took Phoenix till overtime, and they had to work their tails off to do that. But Quigley, that Emily mentioned, her three-point shooting throughout was remarkable.
Once again, you want to say Emily mentioned it? Emily can get the point. Moving right along.
Yeah. fine. Sharon.
Two straight walk-off singles for the Braves. Atlanta holding serve. They're up 2-0 on the Dodgers as the series heads west. Those Dodgers with an ailing Justin Turner and a dead-armed Max Scherzer and Julio Urias burned last night. Which Bill Plaschke, by the way, from the LA Times, our Bill Plaschke, he questions it. Also, how about Uncle Ron Washington? Sending runners like there's no tomorrow. That guy should have a big league job. Anyway, George, buy or sell Robert's decision making it, and is it costing the Dodgers?
I'm buying it, Clinton, because even though that's an unpopular opinion, because it's about process over results. Now, granted, you want the results to work out, but 41 times this season, the Dodgers had a two-run or more lead in the eighth inning, and they won 41 straight. That's the first time in 42 games that that's happened to them. This is what Dave Roberts and the Dodgers do. They put in Julio Urias because there were left-handers coming up. He only threw 10 pitches. He's going to be fine. They're going to be fine.
Speaking of Plaschke, is this one over, Tim?
It's very close to over, and I know Atlanta was in the same spot a year ago. I think there's more momentum now. And as far as Urias, he did that a lot 2 years ago. This year, 32 starts, no relief appearances. That was a questionable move.
Back to the decision-making, Emily. Did you think Roberts made the right move?
It's hard to say, but honestly, this is not what's costing the Dodgers. It's the fact they're 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. The fact that they had 9 guys walk. 4 stolen bases, 1 guy hit by a pitch, and if you can't get runs with that, you're not going to win in October.
Harry Lyles, your Braves, how's it looking?
You know, Clinton, it's interesting. As I walked out of my apartment, Ron Washington was actually waving me onto the studio over here. But no, you know, I think I sell the idea, though, of this series being over because we've seen what this Atlanta Braves team did last year. So I think it is confusing, though, the way that Dave Roberts has kind of managed this. He's managing them as if they did not win 106 games. So selling that as well.
George, do you think it's over?
No, I don't think it's over. We've seen this Dodger team be very resilient. And by the way, we saw Urias do this last postseason, Tim. I know he didn't do it in the regular season, but he did do it in the postseason that led them to a championship.
All right, moving to college football.
I just don't think they have the pitching they had last year. They don't have Kershaw at all, for one thing. And Robert seems to have lost trust in a lot of the other pitchers.
I'll give you a point even though you cut me off, Tim. It's okay. We're moving on to college football. We got lunacy in Chicago, Bedlam in Atlanta. But like I said, college football is like, yo, hold my beer bong. Number 2, Iowa. They looked apart, and they dropped at home by Purdue. How does that happen? And speaking of ugly scenes, Tennessee, get it together. Trash, golf balls thrown onto the field. And at Lane Kiffin, who made some great grabs, by the by. After the Vols were ruled short of a first down with a minute to go, this turned into 20 minutes of stoppage. Also, in the SEC, LSU and Ed Orgeron agreed to go their separate ways at the end of the year. Harry, this is absolutely your beat. What stood out to you most this weekend?
I would like to buy Lane Kiffin leaning into any situation that he's in, good or bad.
Yes.
The bigger thing that I would like to buy here are the Cincinnati Bearcats. They're ranked number 2 in the AP poll, which is great. We all think that they deserve a shot in the playoff. However, I would like to warn everybody, the playoff committee rankings, November 2nd, that's the first ones that come out. Those are going to look very, very different from the AP poll because their job, as Gary Barta and Bill Hancock told me a couple of weeks ago, is to do rank the best team, not the most deserving team. So we'll see how that goes.
Emily Kaplan.
I'm so annoyed with Iowa. If you're going to beat our Penn State with our backup quarterback, we had no game plan for, then run the table in the Big Ten.
What does that have to do with
our? Because it makes our entire conference look bad, and somehow Ohio State's going to end up in the top 4, and I just hate it here.
Tim Kalishaw.
Harry's absolutely right. Give him another point about the argument between best and deserved. We go through it every year, and it's tedious, and college football needs to get off that. But I do think Cincinnati will actually find its way into the top 4, stay there, and get to compete as a Group of 5 team for the title.
Kalishaw, hands and out assists. We love it. George Sedano.
I'm hoping to buy anarchy here because I think Cincinnati can create that in the college football world. In a world where college football has become too regional, I think that if you throw someone in there like a Cincinnati, that can change things up, certainly. Now, right now, the computer polls that I've seen or the projections have them 5th at best in some of these cases, behind Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, some even behind Oklahoma. So that's not good for them. They need to run up the score. They need the old ball coach Steve Spurrier style or Jimmy Johnson style of just taking no prisoners.
Tell you what, dadgummit, we love that. First cut, it's the deepest. Emily, sorry. TC, you look great,
I'm
but it's time to go.
I'm the Vanderslute of this show.
Harry Lyles, George Sedano. Showdown is next. It's weird to be here and not there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Showdown, the veteran against the rookie. ALCS Game 3 tonight in Boston. Eduardo Rodriguez versus Jose Urquidy. No workout for the Strohs at Fenway yesterday. Instead, Dusty Baker said the team had a nice dinner. Quote, you ever seen Gladiator? There's a good meal before the fight. Okay, what are we about to witness tonight, Sedano?
We're about to witness that we are going to be entertained, thanks to Dusty Baker. Jose Urquidy hasn't pitched in 2 weeks since October 3rd, but he does have an appearance against the Red Sox. 9 Ks, 1 earned run. This is an interesting trick up his sleeve. We talk a lot about Alex Cora and his maneuverability. Dusty throwing an interesting rink into the situation here.
As much as I like to get on Boston for any number of different things, I have to give them this. Fenway in October is one of the most beautiful and cool places in all of sports. Now, with that said, I think that we're going to see a lot of Kike Hernandez tonight. 15 hits in his last 5 games. That dude is an absolute monster. I'm looking forward to see what he's going to get done tonight.
Yeah, one guy's thrown in 15 days and one guy's hitting the snot out of the ball in 15 times. I'm going to go with Kike Hernandez. Point loss. Next topic. 2 NFL wins we did mention earlier, the Jags ending a 20-game losing streak in London, a sneaky slant to set up a game-winning field goal, look at that, and the Raiders ending a tumultuous week off the field with a road division win in Denver. Harry, which was more impressive?
I've got to go with the Raiders here. I know that the Jags have, you know, had their drought, but the thing here is, this was a lot, right? I mean, we had Carl Nassib take a personal day during the week because of the things that John Gruden said. Obviously, there's a bunch of black players in that locker room, and the things that he said were quite shocking, to be honest with you. So for them to kind of come together during this week in which they just had to listen to what everybody else had to say, I thought that was the most impressive win.
For a sport that's predicated on, you know, parity, I mean, it's got to be the Jaguars in this situation. They've gone well over a calendar year. There's only one team in history that has gone with a longer losing streak.
Yeah, Urban Meyer needed that one badly. Point Sedano. Steelers over Seahawks in OT last night. It seems like Seattle really could have used the 2-minute drill from Russ. This was before the game. Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Inactive, Mr. Knows where all the cameras are. Point blank, George, is this cool?
No, it's not cool. And you mentioned the coin toss. It feels like he's just trying to do the whole Russell Wilson thing. Hey, I'm Russell Wilson. You're not Russell Wilson. I'm cool. You're not cool. Nah, you're doing too much, bro.
Yeah, it's to me, Russell Wilson's never really been a cool guy, which that sounds kind of mean, but he's always been a good ball player, and somehow he was able to pull Sierra, which kind of helps him be a little bit cool, but not quite.
Body party, you mentioned that, you're going to win. Harry Lyles, take the FaceTime.
Okay, message to the city of Atlanta. Guys, we need a little bit of caution here. Yes, the Braves are up 2-0 on the Dodgers. Do not get too excited. I don't need to bring up those 2 magic numbers from the Super Bowl a few years ago now. Don't need to do that. Be cautious. Last year, Dodgers did this again, right? 3-1, blew the lead. Don't want that, all right? So just easy. A lot of ball game left to be played, guys.
That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around the horn. We're on a 22-and-a-half-hour break. You want to turn 2? Let's do it. Ooh, just low. I'll be here all week, by the way.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.